Now, I know that the fastest 4 hours in radio is J. Martin Ramone's bit, but damn, this week has gone fast. Final segment already, or final hour, rather, here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm already getting ahead of myself. Welcome in. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. Lucas Panzeca making it all happen behind the glass. And, of course, former Vols quarterback Jonathan Crompton going to join us here in about 15 minutes from now. So stick around. What we're going to talk about this hour, and, of course, you're welcome to participate, 615-737-1045 is the number, 615-737-1045. I want to know if Vols fans have forgiven Lane Kiffin, because I feel like, I mean, it makes sense to me that most people would have by now. It's been, what, 2006 is when he left? So,
ooh, Kiffin?
Yeah.
No, 2010.
2010, okay.
Yes, it was the 2009 season.
All right. 2009. I got my numbers mixed up. Nice.
He just turned it upside down.
Whoops. Hey, that's what happens. Head on a swivel. But it's been a long time since Lane Kiffin resided on Rocky Top and left in the middle of a night with a 59-second press conference. And now a lot of think pieces are, of course, being written, not just by our friend Adam Sparks at the Knoxville News Sentinel, but Bruce Feldman, one of the best college football writers and reporters in the country, has put up a really cool piece at The Athletic as well. They've cited, you know, you've had people weigh in from across the spectrum of college football about this particular story, because it's a massive storyline, right? When we talk about Titans and Bills, I'm telling you that I don't root for results. I root for the best story of the outcome, or whatever the best story is going to be over the course of the week. And the best story, of course, right now in all of local sports is Lane Kiffin returning to Neyland Stadium. So I wanted to take a look back at this, and of course Jonathan Crompton factors into this story in a very big way, given how much success he was not having prior to Lane Kiffin and how Lane Kiffin basically turned him into an NFL draft pick. I want to kind of rehash whether Vols fans have forgiven Lane Kiffin. So, Lucas, I believe we have the Lane Kiffin press conference for the people. Why don't we relive that moment from 2010, 11 years ago, almost to the date?
Well, thanks for coming, guys. This was not an easy decision. It was something that happened very quick. A decision that myself and my family made, and we've been here 14 months. The support has been unbelievable here. I really believe that this is probably the only place that I would have left here to go, was to go to Southern Cal, and there's so many people to thank, so I'm just going to be so generic and say I'm very thankful to all the Tennessee people and the way they welcome myself and my family, and it's been an exciting time. And I know that I can walk out of here and say this, that we've been here for 14 months, and there's not one day that I didn't give everything I had to the Tennessee football program. And I know, just leaving that team room and looking around and the players coming in on this roster and what's going on in their development, that we're leaving here 14 months later a lot better team than we were 14 months ago. So I appreciate you guys coming, and thanks again for all your support.
Hey, Lane, out of respect to the Tennessee fans, you answered three questions for us.
What about recruiting, Lane?
That's Heather Harrington, who still works at WNML, the sports animal, our sister station in Knoxville. I mean, that room, Chris Lowe, Jimmy Hyams, a lot of reporters that don't work on the Tennessee beat anymore. But a lot of those reporters are still working and covering Tennessee football.
And they're all featured in this Adam Sparks piece.
Yep.
January 12th, 2010, around 10 o'clock Eastern time, when Lane Kiffin, against the wishes of the PR staff of the University of Tennessee, because the media area was swarmed with furious fans, held a 59-second press conference after 14 months in Knoxville, saying, "Hey, I gave my all every day, but you know what? Now it's USC." 615-737-1045. Have you forgiven Lane Kiffin? I think it's a pretty interesting question for Vols fans. Let's ask Ross, who's in the borough. He wants to lay in. What's up, Ross?
What's going on, guys? Here's my take on it. It was USC was his dream job. He had stated that. And he told him up front, you know, it probably would never get to him. He was way down the list. Well, it did. Who I'm mad at is Pete Carroll, because Pete Carroll created the mess at USC. He bolted. That's why the job came open. And nobody wanted to touch it because they knew what was coming down the pipe. I think if Kiffin had stayed, we wouldn't have gone through this decade of just, you know, ineptitude. Because it became obvious that the leadership up there wasn't capable of hiring a competent coach. So, like I said, I ain't mad at him. Now, he could have handled it better.
Sure.
You know, but I don't have a problem with it.
Hey, I appreciate
it. Now, if I do, having said that, I hope we kick their butt this week, obviously. So.
Obviously.
Go Vols.
Thanks very much for the call, Ross. We appreciate it. 615-737-1045. So it's curious, and in fact, Lane Kiffin was asked whether he regrets doing that press conference because, as Ross said, yeah, I understand why it happened, but it could have been done better. It's doing the analysis in retrospect, sure, but let's see if Lane Kiffin has any regrets about that 10 p.m. press conference on the night of January the 10th.
I don't know that I've ever told the story of that. Chris Lowe sent me the video of it this week, which I don't know I'd ever seen the actual video of everyone talking in there, you know, why I wasn't in the room, but that was my idea only. I was advised against that, you know, from Jimmy Sexton to a lot of people, like, you know, I said, get out of town, get on the plane and show up at USC and then, you know, speak there. And I said, I just didn't feel like that was right. Like, I really felt like the media had been awesome, not just fair, but awesome in our 1 year there. Really had grown to like them a lot and felt like they should get an explanation. Now, I couldn't do that with the cameras and everything because then that would be like, okay, well, you're basically starting your press conference at USC in Tennessee. That's not right. But I wanted to explain to them, hey, why this was the one job, you know, that I would take. This is why, you know, it's not great timing at all. Had no plans of leaving here. Really was excited about what was building. Much like I had the team meeting, which also was advised against not to do at all, but I wanted to tell the players. And, you know, that doesn't normally happen at all, you know, in those situations. So I think both of them backfired, but I don't, you know, that's not the point. You do things in life because they're the right things to do, whether they work or not. And in my opinion, those were the right things to do against what people were saying.
And that's, he stands on it, which is interesting because it's, I mean, Lane Kiffin, whatever you think of him, I think the personal growth, and he was so young
33.
When he got the opportunities that he did, not just at Tennessee, at USC, and the Raiders.
That's 31 when he got hired by Al Davis.
It's crazy, crazy. Lane Kiffin's trajectory in the world of not just college, but the NFL. Just the world of football. Have you forgiven him? Does it make any difference to you? You can forgive him and still want to kick his ass on Saturday. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Scott in Bethpage before former Vols quarterback Jonathan Crompton joins us. What's up, Scott?
Hey guys, and I always enjoy when Crompton comes on your show. Man, I tell you what, there's nothing, as far as him leaving to go to USC, there's absolutely nothing to forgive. Nobody on this station, nobody that listens to you, nobody that reads or reads about college football is going to say, I'm going to pass up my dream job to stay at this particular job. It's just not in real life. It's not in sports world. It's not going to happen. But what there was the unforgivable was basically saying you've left us better than you found us, because it's not true. We had sanctions put on us after that. I mean, we had to deal with some serious issues. And it was hard for us to succeed after that. And then you throw on top of that, we had to hire Dooley, the choir boy, to come in here, the lawyer himself, to come in here and not recruit offensive linemen. And then we got P1P Butch Jones. You know, he's always with the acronyms. And so I think basically what I'm saying is we've come full circle. We now have an offensive-minded coach that actually does believe in defense. So I think we're better off in the long run. He regrets it. We hate it. And his dad still wears Tennessee coach. Love you guys.
Thanks very much for the call, Scott. Love you too. It's always very personal.
You know, people see Kiffin as that first domino that sent Tennessee into that decade plus long tailspin. And that's very fair. But you also look at what the administration did after he left. The rush to hire Derek Dooley, an unproven coach with a big last name who had only 3 years of head coaching experience at La Tech and only one winning season. And wonder how if they had approached that differently, of maybe having an interim for a year, hitting the reset button on the program and giving yourself time to find somebody where at the time, it's still a very attractive job. You're not very far removed from the Philip Fulmer era. So there's a lot that goes into that, but I don't know he certainly contributed, but I think you should point to the administration, the leadership at the time too, with as much blame as Lane Kiffin for what happened in the decade that followed.
So why don't we talk about it with Lane Kiffin's former pupil, Jonathan Crompton, former Vols quarterback, will join us coming up next. And if you guys want to hang on the line and talk with Crompton about this situation, I think that'd be a lot of fun. 615-737-1045 is how you do so. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right, let's do this. If you're a Titans fan, I got something for you. It's Titans Ticket Thursday. Each Thursday before home games, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Tennessee Titans face off against their remaining 2021 home opponents at Nissan Stadium, thanks to Kentucky legend. If you are caller number 5 right now, you can get in for a chance to win the Titans versus the Bills Monday Night Football tickets. 615-737-1045 for more info on Titans Ticket Thursday, presented by Kentucky legend. Visit 1045thezone.com. So Jonathan Crompton, former Vols QB, will be here in just a second, but we've been having a conversation about, as a Vols fan, do you forgive Lane Kiffin? And I think it's a pretty interesting story to dissect. Let's go to Mike, who's in Nashville, who wants to weigh in. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great. What you got?
Man, I really just don't like Kiffin. Not even pertaining, I mean, it, at the root of it, pertaining to the fact of how he left. Not that he left, it's how he left. You know, 59-second press conference, whenever the PR, like you just said, didn't even want him to even do it. Like, why even do it? You didn't even answer the questions. You just came up there, said a few words, and left. And then the mattresses and the couches proceeded to burn.
Yeah.
My thing with Kiffin is that then not only did he do that and go to find bigger, better things, but then he went and sold himself to Nick Saban and revamped his offense, which thus created more years in this dynasty. It's a domino effect, and we could all just sit here and say it's Nick Saban's fault. I mean, I don't know, but nah. Lane Kiffin can go to HE double hockey sticks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mike. You could say hell on the radio. I probably do more than I should. So, there are mixed emotions, right? And it doesn't help that Lane Kiffin's up at the podium the Monday before the Vols Ole Miss game saying, yeah, it's going to be their first sellout in years, you know, a great place to play. And it's honestly, before Crompton joins us and Lucas is in the middle of awarding a Titans fan a pair of tickets to Monday Night Football, so we'll get to Lucas and this audio from Lane Kiffin here in just a second. But I think it's pretty interesting to see how people consume him now, because Mike's right. It's not just the way that he left Tennessee and that started this domino effect of years of incompetent hiring at the university, but also after all of the things that happened to Lane Kiffin do, and he ends up as the offensive coordinator for a national championship Alabama football team, Lane Kiffin is giving Nick Saban the keys to sustainability in the SEC. Now, it's maybe Kiffin could have figured this out, or maybe Saban, rather, could have figured this out for himself and could have found ways to join the 20s, it wasn't 2020 that this occurred, but the late teens offensive revolution in college football that did happen. Maybe Nick Saban would have been able to do that on his own after seeing it time and time again. But Lane Kiffin expedited the process, which furthered Nick Saban's grip on the SEC. So it's not just one thing that caused Vols fans to have some kind of disdain for Lane Kiffin. It's the fact that he kept Alabama going and performing on offense at a higher level than any that they had achieved to this point. Let's talk with Jonathan Crompton, our buddy, former Vols QB. He hosts the halftime and postgame show on A to Z Sports. The Big Orange postgame show is where you can find him and Charlie Burris at halftime and after every Vols game. Now, I think, though, that we have we have something to settle between us because he came to Nashville. He texted me many times to come hang out with him. I was caught up in the middle of something and I didn't end up showing up. Do we have resentment between us, Kromp? How are we?
I almost didn't come on to it. No, I'm just kidding.
What? I felt like a bad friend. You guys are drinking on the roof at L.A. Jackson that weekend that you're in town. I don't remember what exactly I was doing, but I hated that because you and I have yet to share a cocktail together, and it breaks my heart.
You know what? Me and Austin shared a few, and we had a good time. So, you know, next time I guess you'll be invited. I don't know.
I wouldn't invite me, Kromp. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if you didn't. And also, it's Kromp and very politely telling me, yeah, idiot, we didn't need you to have a good time. We did it just fine on our own, which is why we love having our friend Jonathan Crompton. So walk me through what, obviously, Lane Kiffin week is a big story for any Vols fan. You were, of course, a part of that 14-month roller coaster ride that was the Lane Kiffin experience in Knoxville. What was that like for you on the outside as a former player watching him resign in a 59-second press conference saying, hey, this has been fun, but I'm going to USC?
Interesting, I guess you could say. I mean, obviously, any Tennessee fan can sit here and say what they want. Nobody wishes he would have resigned. You know what I mean? We're in a completely different state if he doesn't. But guess what? That's unfortunately the part of life. Okay. So I say that to say, yeah, every fan wants to beat him this week. But like I said on the show, the Big Orange post game last week, guys, like, it's been 12 years.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we played him when he's at Alabama, you know, all that stuff. So it's just one of those that, now I guess since it's the first time we played him as a head coach and he's coming to Knoxville, you know, let's play it up. Let's use the crowd to our advantage because we're going to need home field advantage. That's what that word's there for. So, you know, I was kind of going full circle with the question. It was an interesting time. It sucks that he left. Let's just call it like it is. His dad, Monty, still rags on him for leaving. He was living out there in, near the Cherokee golf course and was ready to live out his days there. So there's just a lot of, it was kind of a crazy trickle down effect that I know a lot of Tennessee fans almost think that, oh, it would only happen to Tennessee, you know, kind of always feels that way.
Jonathan, what do you remember from that night specifically? Your playing career had ended a month ago, right? You're getting ready for the NFL. There's so many varying accounts about how players found out, whether it was on the scroll on ESPN or a local reporter told them walking into a meeting. How do you remember that night playing out in your eyes?
Couches burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did happen.
You know, I mean, that would probably be the...
Well, how'd you find out, I guess, is the better question.
Honestly, I'll be honest, I was in Nashville at the time, and I don't fully remember how I found out. Like, I really don't. I just, once I did find out, I remember turning the TV on going, oh, damn, they're really burning couches, like, straight up. Okay. I thought it was a joke. No, they legit, from my understanding, I could be wrong, I heard they broke into the Stokely Athletic Center, which is, I don't think it's there anymore, and took some couches, and they just lit them damn thing on fire. I said, okay, the last time I saw that was when we beat LSU after Katrina and flew down the same day of the game, and Rick Clausen brings us on a miraculous comeback, and they're burning stuff and beds down by the stadium in celebration.
That was happy burning.
So
happy
I guess burning, you could yes. say I was there for two different couch and bed burnings on campus, one really good, one not so good.
For, former Vols QB Jonathan Crompton here with us on 104.5 The Zone. He's one of the co-hosts of the Big Orange Halftime and Postgame Show that you can find after every and during every Tennessee football game on the A to Z Sports Network. Kromp and Charlie Burris will be doing the damn thing on Saturday throughout the course of this game against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Let's talk about this past weekend, Kromp, because I was blown away by how happy my timeline was on a Saturday for the first time of my existence here in Tennessee. It's never felt that kind of joy on a Saturday during a Vols game as it was watching Tennessee put it on South Carolina. You have experienced the black jersey atmosphere at Neyland Stadium. You yourself had Lane Kiffin call a touchdown play on the second play of the game against South Carolina when they were wearing the black jerseys. How good was it to see that environment kind of return and what Josh Heupel's been doing on the field.
Oh, I love it. And I know the players are just ecstatic about it. They you can't not be. They what he's done for the program is exactly what has been needed. Kind of bringing a new life, you know, and that's the thing about football. It's a never-ending evolution. The world isn't, you know, never-ending evolution. And it seemed for a long time we were stuck in the past. So with him and Danny White coming in, I think is a new age that we really need in the sense of just kind of a little spark. You know, not a lot of major stuff, but a lot of little things make a big difference. And I think they've done really well with that, you know, and now it's just time to put it on the field. And so far we've done pretty well in doing that. And, you know, obviously each week in the SEC is a new test. This will be no different. The positive is it's not like Ole Miss's defense can stop anybody.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just the bottom line. Their defense, I mean, I don't know where they rank as far as points allowed in the SEC, but by God, it's got to be up there.
31 points per game allowed.
Yeah, they're
yeah, I mean,
right now.
I mean, that's not necessarily the best. You know what I mean? So you know, I think it's a good game to get us some confidence offensively for the third week in a row. The last 2 weeks have helped that confidence, but then going against a defense that gives up a lot of points and a lot of yards, I think that helps us tremendously offensively. The stadium should be rocking. I'm really excited to see, you know, some of these College Game Day signs because obviously there's going to be a Lane Kiffin Tennessee sign somewhere.
Oh, sure.
I, you know, want to have fun with it because at the end of the day, it is a sport and these kids bust their rear end to make it joyful for all of us on Saturdays. Just, you know. Thank God the past two Saturdays have been joyful for us.
And you seem to have a head coach and a coaching staff who have a dedicated game plan. There seems to be a concise train. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I got so angry watching Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, do you remember you and I filled in for Austin Stanley during that Arkansas game last year?
Was so bad.
Oh, my God, Crompton. And I was infuriated. I have no attachment to the program. I simply cover local sports here in Tennessee now, and I am sitting there spitting venom and rage with you on after that game because they had the lead at halftime, and they just pooped themselves. Now, it seems, not only is there competency among the coaching staff, there seems to be a comfort level with that quarterback, and he's playing at an incredibly efficient level. You have a coach that gets it. You have an AD who gets it, running out the letters last week, the retro letters last week ahead of the game against South Carolina. Now they're going full checkerboard environment at Neyland Stadium. It just seems like a different world that we're existing in, and that just has to be so refreshing after so long.
No, I totally agree, and that's what I was saying a minute ago. I think that with him, with Danny White and Heupel, I think that new age we needed. You know, in Alabama, places like that are kind of they're anomalies in the sense of they're not necessarily in the new age when it comes to, you know, alternate uniforms, stuff like that, but they're winning year in, year out, so that helps them kind of come along. You know what I mean? Like, it's
sure.
It's not Oregon. It's, you know, not places like that. USC has to get into the new age. I mean, it's just called it like it is. I think we finally have gotten into that light. And especially when you saw that video of him introducing the black uniforms to the players. When he said, you guys asked to, you know, give a new twist on an old tradition. Well, here you go. As a player, that's what you want. And we've seen the AD and the head coach essentially give the players in the community. And when I say community, I mean all of Vol Nation. Kind of what we want. We want to be relevant. We want to be exciting. And they're allowing that now. So, I mean, this Saturday, and I love that it's a night game, because it's going to be fans, go tailgate, do what you do at a tailgate, read between the lines, get ready to go, and make it loud, make it very miserable on Ole Miss to try to even communicate.
Former Vols QB Jonathan Crompton here with us on 104.5 The Zone. You can catch him on A to Z Sports, the Big Orange halftime and postgame show during every Vols game.
So we kind of discussed this a little bit this week on the UT podcast, Jonathan. But schematically, you talked about the evolution of Lane Kiffin's offense from when you played for him in 2009 to now in 2021. But specifically, I want to ask you, what's one thing that you see him kind of lean on now with his offensive scheme that you never would have seen when you played for him in 2009?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, they really, nowadays, they really rely on the run a lot more. But that's how a lot of teams are built in today's game because of the RPO, the run-pass option. We were really balanced. A lot of our stuff was checked at the line of scrimmage where we would go to the line with a couple plays in mind. But that's where, like I said, the football, the evolution, now it's not that. Oregon, or actually Arkansas really kind of started it with the Darren McFadden phase, the Wildcat package. I guess Auburn really started before them with Ronnie Brown and, Cadillac Williams, but that started the new trend. And then Oregon kind of took off with it. And teams have kind of evolved into that where it's a lot of one-word play calls. We're trying to go fast. We're trying to run 80 plays a game. Well, guess who else does that? We do. We run, what, 80, 82, 83 plays a game. That's remarkable. So our thing is schematically, we have to be ready for them to run the ball, 45, 50 times, but not the old school pound and ground run the ball. More sideline to sideline, find a hole, jet sweep type run the ball. Because if you look at it, Ole Miss only threw the ball 21 times last week.
It's crazy. That game against Arkansas was
like,
crazy.
It's not like they're out here throwing it 70 times like Hawaii used to.
It's wild. So with that being said, though, talking about the Vols offense right now, the pace that they're playing at, it's among the top in college football. That requirement for the quarterback to be so decisive in a short amount of time, how much does that help a quarterback in a system like this? Or do you think that it can further complicate things? But it just seems to me that lack of time in between plays requires the quarterback to be singularly focused on what he's being asked to do with that specific play call. Am I incorrect about that?
Well, no. I mean, that's the thing. It's a quasi 2-minute drill, right? In the sense of we're trying to go so fast, and the beauty of a 2-minute drill is you don't have time to overthink stuff. You don't have time to go, well, what if they do this? What if they just, nope, you're finding your key and you're going with it. You know what I mean? And what looks so good and so fun to watch is this is what I tell all the kids that I work with. We can overcomplicate simple stuff, or we can have very simple sophistication. It looks like Tennessee's got the simple sophistication right now, and that's a good thing, where we can run the same play out of multiple formations, and it looked different to the defense, but it's no different to us. We're just going to window dress everything, and that's what Tennessee's doing, and that's what you do in a 2-minute drill, right? They're doing it really well, and they're being efficient at it, and that's why Hendon Hooker is leading the SEC in QB passer rating right now, or passer efficiency. And that's I don't think we've had that in a long time.
It's insane. It's insane. And it's so much fun to watch. It's so much fun to see Tennessee fans legitimately enjoying themselves. They've got momentum. They've got confidence. And they got Lane Kiffin at home on Saturday.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch. Because like I said on last Saturday after the game, he is going to say something and do something to poke the bear. He already has.
Yeah.
But we're not to Friday yet. You know what I mean? He's not in Knoxville yet. When they land in Knoxville, I would not be surprised if he tweets something just to poke at the fans.
Oh, he will.
He's doing it to be fun, but also to try to fire everybody up. So play into it. Don't obviously be disrespectful, but play into it and let them hear it. Let them hear it on Saturday night.
They are certainly going to let Lane Kiffin hear it on Saturday night.
Oh, yes, they are.
And the people are going to hear Jonathan Crompton and Charlie Burris at halftime and after the game on the Big Orange Halftime and Postgame Show on A to Z Sports is where you can see Cromp and Charlie every Saturday and whenever he graces us with his presence right here on 104.5 The Zone. Buddy, it's good to catch up. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
I appreciate it.
One of the best, Jonathan Crompton. Always enjoy having his analysis and insight. All right. When we come back, Lucas has been waiting almost a month for this, and it's not me exaggerating as he will accuse me of doing. The Panzeca Preds Minute. It's opening night in Smashville. We haven't talked about the Preds all day long, and I refuse to alienate. Actually, that's not true. Lucas refuses to have me alienate Preds fans today. So we will do that coming up next, as well as the polls. Oh, look at you. The gold is not only on the ceiling. It's infiltrated the production studio. It's opening night in Smashville. Bridgestone Arena is going to be rocking. Broadway will as well. And that means the triumphant return of the Panzeca Preds Minute. Are you ready?
I believe I'm ready.
Okay. Why don't you tell the people what you're excited about for the hockey team against the Seattle Kraken tonight? This is a season. What kind of expectations does this season carry?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, talk about that playoff streak, second longest active playoff streak in the NHL right now, seven straight seasons. That's the long-term question for this year. Does this team regress out of the playoff picture for the first time in almost a decade, or do they stay on that path? A lot of that has to do with UC Soros.
So they re-signed Matthias Ekholm. They announced that yesterday. And I saw a lot of people, the emotions, it seems, right now on David Poile are pretty mixed. And rightfully so, right? You've had an incredible run a couple of years ago. You've since been a few years removed from it. But you also have the expectation for the winningest general manager in your franchise's history.
In the league's history.
The only general manager in your franchise's history. You have this standard that you're holding him to. And a lot of people wanted him forced out when their season started to tank at the beginning, and then they had that miraculous run where we started the radio show. I declared them dead.
Yes.
And then, of course, they. So you're welcome, is what I'm trying to say. You're welcome for inspiring your team in hate of me to go on and find their way into the postseason, even if the Carolina series didn't go the way you wanted.
Well, and that was UC Soros, right? Can he
stud
continue to raise the floor of this team when they're not producing? But there's several factors here. I mean, Philip Tomasino, their 2019 first-round pick, fans have been clamoring to see him in Preds gear. Had a solid season with Chicago in the AHL last year. He's on the team for this coming season. Does Eli Tolvanen take a step forward? Can he be a 20-plus goal scorer in 5-on-5, not just on the power play where he showed his biggest strengths? You're not going to get a Cali Yarncrow reunion in Nashville, I don't believe. He was put on the COVID list for the Seattle Kraken just a few days ago. But I'm interested to see the Kraken, an expansion side that's already played one game, coming to Nashville for the Preds season opener. But overall, maybe most importantly, Philip Forsberg. Contract year, what happens to him by the end of the season? Does he get traded? Does he get a new deal? And then, of course, the Matt Duchene experiment continues. So there's a lot of fascinating narratives here that I'm looking forward to, and it all starts off against the newest team in the NHL with arguably the coolest logo and mascot in American sports right now.
I was going to say, how pissed are Preds fans going to be when I come in to do the radio show tomorrow and I'm wearing Kraken gear? Seth is in Smithville. He wants to talk about the hockey team before we wrap up the show. What's up, Seth?
I've been waiting all morning for this.
Oh.
It is Smashville. It's going to be loud tonight in Bridgestone. I'm ready to sing King Philip out on the ice. No, I'm not talking about Forsberg. That's Prince Philip. I'm talking about King Philip Tomasino.
Oh, spicy.
A lot of hype for the first round pick.
I think there should be. Listen, the Preds games, they're the best ticket in town. And they certainly have been over the course of, I mean, really, long before I got here, the Preds games are incredibly fun. Now, I saw the standing room only tickets were going for like north of $100 yesterday, which I thought was pretty interesting. But I'm sure that it's going to be a packed house. They're allowing full capacity, right? But you have to have proof of vaccination.
Yes.
So that will be interesting. I don't think that's going to affect it at all. It's a lot easier with 20,000 people than it is with 70,000 in NFL stadium polls. Oh, you weren't ready.
Closed and the votes have been tallied. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
What happened? What the hell is this? Are we going clubbing? What's happened?
Oh, what are your thoughts?
Is this the new music for the polls?
It can be.
Is this because I want it sponsored by a strip club?
Have you forgiven Lane Kiffin? Yes or no? 56% have, 44% have not. Matt Snyder, our friend, said yes, but also with the screenshot of Buck Rising flipping off the Zone TV audience live at Titans training camp.
Yeah, you can like Lane Kiffin now, and you can have forgiven him as a Vols fan, and you can also say bleep you, Lane Kiffin, when he walks into the stadium. with whatever he's going to do to troll you guys at Neyland on Saturday.
Here's my thing. I don't take things personally in sports. When Henry To'oto'o left to transfer to Alabama, it sucks. I don't take it personally. A lot of Tennessee fans do, and that's okay. You have every right to. He screwed over the program, but he's done enough in the last 10-plus years. Time heals all wounds. I like Lane Kiffin.
You don't take anything personally except for the fact that Jim Chaney didn't use tight ends in the Vols' offense. Next bowl.
If Julio can't go, is Marcus Johnson enough to improve the Titans' offense? 53% say no.
Well, I think that the doubters are still out there, and that's fine. I'll rely on my training camp myths and legends. It was there against the Jags. You'd love to see it against the Bills, because it sounds like you're going to have, or you may have, your full complement of receivers on Monday night.
Where do the Vols have the edge against Ole Miss? Josh Griffin says stadium size. Tyler says defense is better. I think that's going to be the key. Need a handful of stops to pull the win out. Tougher strength of schedule for Ole Miss, but certainly Tennessee's defense has played better.
They have played better, and credit where credit is due, but Ole Miss has seen a lot tougher competition to this point in the season. I'm sure that they will find ways to exploit that Tennessee defense, especially on the ground, because remember, who is the linebacker that season is over?
Juwan Mitchell, the Texas transfer, and we talked about that as the most important offseason addition to this team.
It's a really thin position group. They'll have to be on their game. They did well against Tyler Beatty in Missouri, but this is a much different test.
Josh Heupel said today, or he said the other day, that everybody that missed last week will be back. He said today, Tyon Evans is progressing. They're going to make a decision on him on Friday. That could potentially be a big factor.
I feel like I should be throwing dollar bills during this poll segment now, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, we'll work on that. What do the Preds do this season? Win the Central Division, make the playoffs, regress without a playoff appearance. 49% say they regress out of the playoffs for the first time in 8 years. 46% believe they do make the playoffs. 5% believe they win the division.
If they regress, we will have to wait and see. It's a long season, and that's why regular season hockey is a lot for me to get into. That was very exciting. I feel like that gives the polls new energy. It also means that Deja Vu needs to call me because we immediately need these sponsored by a gentleman's club establishment. It's only right. Just as Blaine and Mickey is only right. They're up next.